Happy, happy Q Day, and welcome to A Cumin Perspective. I'm your co-host, Kevin.
And I'm John.
Where we discuss and explore the divine masculine energy and New Earth insights. All right. First, I'd like just to express my gratitude to BBS Radio and Don for his assistance behind the scenes. Thank you so much, Don. We always appreciate you. And just wanted to say thank you.
Yes, thank you, Don. And welcome everyone to A Cumin Perspective. We are excited to explore the divine masculine again with everyone. So thank you for joining us again. Very happy to have you all with us.
Absolutely. You know, John, a carrier pigeon came to me yesterday and dropped some knowledge down on me.
Oh,
I just want to say congratulations and happy, happy Earth Day to John. Yes, it's a yes. Instead of birthday, you know, that's kind of a matrix term. I like Earth Day. Earth Day. That's when it's kind of a celebration of when your cord was cut and you took your first breath of life on Earth. So I just want to say happy Earth Day, John.
Oh. Thank you, Kevin, and a very good friend of ours, also Leah out there. I hope she's listening. And
yeah,
happy,
Leah.
Happy coming to Earth Day for you, and maybe someday we can get some of our friends on board here with us, Kevin, to share a day with us and come out and play on the monkey bars with us here.
That would be absolutely awesome.
Wouldn't that be great? Great, yeah.
Happy Earth Day, Leah. Yes.
So we're going to have a day of... call-ins today, Kevin? We're doing that. Maybe tell a couple of stories.
Absolutely. I think we're going to start this show with basically kind of opening up the phone lines. We're going to be accepting calls. Anybody would like to call in and participate, especially with any of the men. We definitely would like to hear from the men. And again, as always, we like to listen to the ladies too, but we'd like to hear the men call in, perhaps share some personal insights and experiences that they may have, kind of based on maybe the discussion that we have today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be very nice. Yeah. So I hope the men out there are feeling inspired. Love to hear their inspiration and their stories and their passion and their experiences, their point of view.
Yeah.
We want to really have people feel at home and at ease and in their hearts. As a matter of fact, Kevin, I thought of a definition of home I think all the guys would appreciate out there, and maybe some of the girls too. And here it goes.
Okay.
Home is where you can scratch any damn place that itches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So get scratching, guys. Feel free to call it.
That's right. And let that air out anytime you want to. You know, that's right.
All right.
Also, let me go ahead and just mention that chat line number in case, since we do want to open up the phone lines.
Yes.
That chat line is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And one last time, 888-627-6008. All right.
Awesome. Good job.
So, you know, I've heard a lot of feedback from our first show, John, and it has been all positive, very good feedback. It seems like folks like the show, you know, and I'm
wow.
I'm surprised we're not banned already, you know, so that's great. You know,
there's still time.
There is. it's still new, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, just wanted to express my appreciation to all those folks who have written into BBS and have mentioned that they enjoy the show and they like, you know, they thought, you know, that we seem to be a good fit together, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to say thanks, guys. I appreciate you. We love you all for listening. And I hope we can just continue to grow and grow and have, you know, one big happy family. You know,
yeah, so. Absolutely, Kevin. And you know what? It's just easy to talk with you and have these discussions. It's great. And I think as others, as they call in, they'll see how easy it is and express their experiences. As I say, in their stories, love to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
And And how we choose to be guided by our hearts versus our minds. And for men, it's a little more difficult. But you've got a little story you're going to tell, I think. And
I was just thinking, how do we actually start this discussion? This is a huge kind of topic in a way, masculine energy, feminine, the balance and interaction between the two energies. How do we start this discussion about men and identifying their own masculine energy, and then using that energy and that and trying to if they have too much of it, they kind of try to need to learn how to tone it down, if you will, and maybe integrate more of the feminine energy, so that there's more of a balance. So I'm just trying to think. I don't know where we should actually start. So I did have a thought. I wanted to share a personal experience, and I'm hoping that most of the men can relate to this. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule, right? Not all men do this. I just wanted to preface before I start this little story that I have to sh share my own personal experience. When I was a young boy, 7 years old, 8 years old, of course, for Christmas, I got a BB gun. Wow, a BB gun. Now, obviously, there you that's where you start beginning to learn, at least from your father or your parents or your grandparents, a little bit of responsibility when you're handling a weapon. And as a boy, the first thing might be a slingshot, or it could be the archery set. I was given like the BB gun. And I can remember going out in the backyard and obviously shooting the bottles and shooting the cans. And then I went ahead and targeted a bird. And of course, I shot at and hit and killed the bird. And of course, as a youth, as a boy, I was in my mind, my egocentric mind, my exploration of my boyhood, if you will. And I was proud of that shot, because the bird's up in a tree, he can move around. But I w had my deadly aim and I killed the bird. And so that was my first taste of taking a life, basically. And but I have to say, as that boy, I still stayed within that mindset, that ego set. That was a good shot. And I didn't really even think about the life I took, right? And then as I grew, more Christmases to come, I actually received a I preface this, I lived in the rural area in the Midwest, and so there's a lot of farmland everywhere. And so I was able to hunt if I wanted to, and I received another present, and it was a shotgun called an over and under. It's a 410 shotgun, very small caliber shot, and then above that is a 22 rifle. And they call it an over and under. And I basically hunted rabbits then. So I forgot the birds, and now I'm moving into rabbits. And again, I took rabbit life and things like that. So I guess where I'm trying to go with this is there's points in our in my male life, even in the youth, I was exploring this egocentric, masculine, power hungry, hunt and prey type of situation. And it was not, and I really had no regard for life itself. It was easy for me to take it as far as in the animal kingdom, obviously, and so. Right. And so now later on, as I'm now an adult and I'm older, and of course I was taken out of the environment of the woods. I'm no longer in a farmland area. I'm more in a suburban area, and I don't hunt anymore. I just lost that desire. And I think that's where I'm coming to is I started moving out of the mind and the egocentric, and moved into my heart, and where I was becoming more loving towards life and seeing that it was precious, and no matter what form it takes, whether it's that bug or the frog or the bird or the squirrel or the deer or the elk, or if you give even higher up at to extreme hunting where it's rhinos and elephants, you should have a love and respect for life and not take it. And I think that's kind of a bridge or a transition between thinking from your brain and your mind and not really having love there, and then transitioning over into your heart and then having love there, and respecting life. So I think, and for men, maybe we can relate to that hunting experience. And I'm just, and I would be kind of weary if I entered someone's home who had trophies all over the wall of animals. They, now I'm not going to be judgmental. I don't want to judge anybody, but I'm just saying personally, I would feel quite uncomfortable if I was in someone's home who had and displayed a lot of trophies on their wall. So I just kind of wanted to share that experience, John. What do you think?
Well, it's the environment too, right? It's how you're brought up and how things work. Here's what boys do, and that's all supported that way. And in the defense of our parents and our brothers, perhaps, or whatever it is around us, that's just the way that time has gone for people, and that's what's been supported. That the as far as and I'm not just talking about the heart center. I'm talking about as far as the way we behave and what we do. It's pretty much been steered in that direction, so those things are those types of, I'm not going to say habits, but ventures or duties or whatever are part of our almost just our
Upbringing.
way of life. And so it's not really thought about much until a situation happens that gets you into your heart space or it brings something else to light that you say, wow, I don't know if I really like this or not. And of course, for all of us listening here and for you and I, we've had a lot of help from the teachings of Q and Mermaid in the Anastasia book series that Mermaid has there. It's an extreme amount of information, and you really realize what the animals are about through her teachings. And it's just, I would encourage anyone to read those books. It's the most profound read I've ever done. And that's saying something for a lot of years. Typically, I wouldn't normally read for entertainment anyway. I read for information. And when I came across these books, of course, with the encouragement of Mermaid and with others, the information is that it's just mind-blowing and just riveting. And there's so much of it coming to light. And perhaps you and I will talk more in another one of our shows about that. Because it would take at least a show to go over some of the, maybe many shows to go over the information there. But as I say, so Q has brought us into our heart center when it comes to life around us, and especially with the animals. And I too, Kevin, have a story that I would like to tell you about that in regards to kind of hunting basically hunting the animals. And when I grew up back in the late 60s, early 70s, in my childhood, it was very meager times, and that was just the way it was there in that neck of the woods. And so we, one of the things myself and one of my brothers done was we would snare rabbits. And so in the winter time is when we would do this, and there's trails where the rabbits travel, so it's very easy to find where they're going. And you use twigs and branches. I don't know if you know anything about snaring, but you use twigs and branches to make a little tunnel to tunnel them through, and then you set your snare up in there, and then you that's how you get the rabbits. And the rabbits we would use for food. Mom would cook them in pies in different ways, and we'd also sell them around where we lived through the village. People would pay like $3 for a a pair of rabbits, which was a lot of money to us back then,
Wow.
especially as kids, right? So we would do that. So we would go around at night or in the morning before school, and we would check our snares and see if we had gotten any rabbits. And of course, there would always be a rabbit or two, and they'd be frozen as stiff as a board. It would just pick it up like you're picking a fish up at the grocery store. It
Right.
really didn't. And then we take the snare off. It really didn't dawn on us what was happening or how that rabbit met its fate. And then one morning, we went out to check on them before school, and the rabbit must have just got in the snare. And I'll tell you, it, and I hope this isn't too graphic for people, but it was, I thought before we got to the snare, we could hear this screeching, this crying, and it was just like a baby.
Oh,
And of
yeah.
course, I come from a big family, so we have lots of kids below me, and we know exactly what that sounds like. So, and it was just a horrifying thing. So we got up to it, and of course, this rabbit was still alive, and it was meeting its fate very slow, terrible, terrible way to die. And so that done it in for me. I was done with that. There was no more snaring of rabbits for me, to the point that I couldn't even, of course, eat them. And of course, that was it. Many nights I went hungry because I wouldn't eat them anymore. So that kind of jolted me into my heart space with animals. And I was never a hunter or anything like that. It was never something that, to your point too, that's what happens. Sometimes it's information, Kevin. It's information that most of us don't have.
Well, you brought up an interesting point. Usually you don't have to hunt and to for survival. At least not in this day and age. You could go to the grocery store. You don't necessarily have to go out and hunt. Now, again, there's always exceptions to every rule. I mean, if there's someone out in Alaska, out in the wilderness, and they don't have access to grocery stores, then they obviously have to perhaps hunt for survival. But normally we don't, and so that's, to me, is just kind of mind energy that is feeding the ego, right? It also it reminds me of the Native Americans. So when they did take a life for survival, they always, asked for its forgiveness and mentioned his gratitude for taking the life, and basically kind of prayed over, said a prayer, if I will, over that food for in thanks, right? And so, but anyway,
Yeah, that might be a good question for Q too, is it that very thing that, like, for the natives, for example, especially certain times of the year, and they had to fight animal or pardon me, hunt animals for survival. And so, much like Q had mentioned, that the fish know that they're food for us, they know that's their job, and I guess that's part of the animals knowing too. And but yeah, so then with my older brothers, they continued to hunt, and some of my younger brothers too. But my older brothers, of course, they would call me a wimp and, oh, you're just being a sissy or whatever. But I didn't give in to them. I still stayed with what I felt in my heart. But they still hunt to this day. But some of them, a couple of them, hunt just for the sport of it. They don't need to take that life. But they, oh, I got to get a deer this year. Oh, I've got to get a moose this year. And I think that's a different thing. And but again, I don't want to, I'm not judging anyone. It's just, this is how I feel myself.
Yep, the
And
only reason.
so,
I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's just how I feel. And I've been in my heart space ever since with animals. And you can take different, there's different life forms of animals, if you can, or different levels. For example, I'll swat a fly quick enough.
Pesky
But so,
mosquito, right?
yeah, right.
So, yeah, the only reason why I kind of brought that up, that hunting issue, because it's obviously it's a downer. It's kind of a negative thing to talk about, but the reason why I did bring it up was to get the men and to get us thinking, when was it when we, or did we, hopefully we flipped from that mind energy ego non-loving area into moving into our heart space more and thinking more of love. So I was wondering when that transition happened, if you can kind of
Right.
remember or think about an example in your life when that transition did occur. Because I think that's a good place to start for men to start
Sure.
getting in
Yep.
touch with their heart and their emotions.
Absolutely. Well, our the way that society has gone and the way that, of course, it's been steered by the Luciferians that way is even right down to when someone gets in a car, they don't see a person in the other car so much. They see a car and they see that car not putting on its signal light. And then they're giving it hand gestures and yelling and, all this road rage that happens. So on. It's not normal reaction. It's something that it gets con you get conditioned to behave that way. And it's really, really not the right way to be, but that's what happens. Now, in these Anastasia books, Kevin, I know you started reading some of them as well.
Yeah,
They
I read book one and I have yet to start into book two, but this it's the
Okay.
Ringing Cedars series. This when you're talking about the Anastasia,
Oh, yes.
Ringing Cedars series book. And
Right.
there's quite a few of them. I think what, nine, eight or nine books in
And
that
in
series.
those books, they give examples about the animals and how they're here to assist us and help us. And that knowledge has been lost. And so there's a lot of information in there. And, for example, it's okay for cows to share their milk with you, but to consume the cow may be a different thing that perhaps we should really think about again. And it gives reasons and so on in there, and it's much easier to follow. Another thing, Kevin, that I find kind of I can't get my head around is, and I'll just talk about one someone that does a lot of hunting, but at the same time, they'll have pets at home, and they'll absolutely adore their pets. And we'll say it's a dog, and they love this dog, and they'll do anything for it, and they'll, have astronomical pet bills and whatever, but and cuddle it and love it, and then at the same time, not have that passion for a wild animal. And I find I really don't understand that. I can't get my head around that part.
Well, I'm thinking, of course, it's the closeness, the relationship that the human has with their pet. You know, that's it lives with them all the time. It sleeps with them in their bed. You know, they feed it. They nurture it. They care for it. But they don't do that those things out in the wild. So they don't have that connection, that heart to heart, if you will, connection with that animal. They
Right.
only with their, so I can see in a way why they would choose to, love and do anything they could for their pet, but not necessarily for any wild animal because they just don't have that connection with them. But again, we should have that connection with them, shouldn't we? We should always have that. It's a living being. It's a spirit within that body of the animal. And as
Right.
Q has mentioned, he's always enjoyed being a frog, swimming around. So we can take many, many forms. And
Right.
so if you can get to the point to where you see an animal and say, oh, there's a spirit in that animal, and who knows, it actually could be someone like you and I, like a human type of spirit, if you will, in the
Right.
animal form. So, and we should have respect for it and, and love it. And one of the I see a lot of videos that represent that love where humans and animals are now really showing a lot of love and even animals showing love for animals. Long time ago, I can remember dogs and cats were opposed of each other. The dog would
Right.
chase the cat would hate the dog, and now we're seeing where I think the their spiritual selves have
Evolved.
ascended more,
Sure.
and now they're living more harmoniously.
Right.
And I'm seeing dogs and cats hugging and kissing each other, and all kinds of different animals interacting and loving each other that you wouldn't even. I just this morning I saw where a woman was really involved with a very small spider
Right.
like one of these little jumping spiders. And she loved it so much, she found a little house for it, a home for it. She fed it, and she, kind of had a connection, and she could feel
Right.
that connection with that tiny little spider, And ordinarily, back in the day, if you will, someone would just not even think about it, and squish it, swat it, get rid of it,
Right.
and it's based on people's fear. It's a fear of something, the fear that
Yeah.
they,
Right.
so.
Well, I know it, we all know that there's a change in frequency that's happening, and there were some very bad frequencies that were being perpetrated upon us, and still are, I guess, but maybe obviously not to the same degree. So that's part of the awakening, and it's not just us, it's the animals too. And the evil Luciferians, or however you want to refer to this cabal, they were controlling a lot of our reactions and our feelings and so on. And with the animals too, Kevin, I've always gone into the forest. I really enjoy going into the woods. It's just a good feeling for me. With the trees, I mentioned to you in another program that I've always felt a good connection to the trees, and it's a very warm, fulfilling feeling. Well, and there was always animals, and you'd see them. But now I find that with the information that we've received through Mermaid and Q, I take time to notice them more, and their habits, and how they live, and how they communicate, even with and interact with all their surroundings. So I'm getting a lot more out of it, and a lot more enjoyment. And so I think everyone, even on this call, would admit that the way they behave today is a whole lot different than last year at this time, and the year before that. We are really evolving quickly and changing the way that we do things and think of things.
We are, and it's like a minute by minute change, and the animals, I believe, are sensing that we are now are becoming more and more loving and understanding, and they feel a little bit more comfortable being around us and with us, and they don't feel as threatened.
This is
So,
true, Kevin, and I see a lots of evidence of that. Here I am. It's a little bit on the outskirts, so we have there's access for the animals to get here easily. And I think I sent you a picture of some ducks that recently came into my yard that wouldn't that's the first time I've ever seen them. I mean, they're very big and beautiful, but I've never seen them. And in some cases we see things now, and were they there and we didn't see them before because we weren't tuned to it? I don't know. But there's birds, and there's always deer around, and things like that. But I find the animals less and less timid of us, and that's a very good thing. And as I say, right here at my home I see lots of things, whether it's squirrels or different types of birds, and they'll come right up to my rail, and they'll just kind of go about their business without, it's like they don't notice you there. And so as before, though, I think they may have seen a frequency that they were intimidated by, or afraid of. And this was really evident when you're in an automobile. If you're in a car, and for the deer, for example, there's lots of deer, they weren't so much afraid of the car at all. If you went by slowly, they wouldn't move. But if you stopped and got out of the car, they would run away. Or if you come out of your house, they would run away. But now they're not. They're staying right there and looking at you, and almost with curiosity. So there's definitely a change happening, and it's more than just two humans, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I would like to encourage listeners to give us a call and perhaps join in on the conversation that John and I are having. Perhaps you can share a story that you have about either how you maybe transitioned from ego mind and now becoming more heart minded. That would be a nice share. Perhaps you could share something to where you've had an animal or animals have come up to you now, and perhaps see you as non-threatening and are more likely to come up and say hello, So that would be a nice share as far as a story too. So again,
Absolutely.
it'd be nice to talk to somebody and call in. In the meantime, John and I are just going to continue on basically with the conversation that we would have with a couple of beers, brewskis, and just kicking back, chilling out, and
Absolutely, Kevin. I'll go grab some beer.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Kevin, how about I feel a story coming on. How about I tell a couple of stories about divine masculine or
Oh, yeah, please,
okay,
please.
all right. I have one here about a gentleman that was inspired to get in touch with his feminine side.
Oh,
But then
okay.
it kind of went a little south on him. So this gentleman was walking down the street and he seen a sign in a barbershop window, and it said hot shave and manicure, $20. And he was going to walk by, and he thought, you know, I've never had a hot shave and certainly haven't had a manicure ever. I'm going to give it a try. So he went in, sat down in the chair, and told the barber what he wanted. He said, yeah, no problem. So the bartender, or the bartender, sorry, the barber went over and grabbed the bowl of soap and the brush and put some hot cloths on his face and got him nicely warmed up, and then started lathering his face and got that done. And then he took out this big piece of leather and started sharpening this straight razor really well on it.
Right.
And then this beautiful girl came along and knelt down in front of him and started doing his nails. And he thought to himself, man, is she pretty?
Yeah.
So he said, what the heck? I'm going to go for it. And he said, would you like to go out for a couple of drinks after you're done work here? She said, oh no, I can't do that. I'm married. He said, oh, come on. He said, come on, we'll have some drinks. Maybe have a nice meal. Go back to my place, have a night like you never had. She said, I can't, I'm married. He said, come on, call your husband, tell him you'll be late. She said, you tell him he's shaving you. That didn't end up too good, Kevin.
Yeah, and at first I thought you were being serious about the
Yeah.
story, and now
Well, I was trying to be as serious as I could possibly be there. How about
yeah.
another one? You want another short one, Kevin? Yeah,
Yeah,
go ahead.
another short one.
And this is really short. So, this is a story about masculine energy turned feminine.
Okay.
So, we all know who Ferdinand the Bull was, that prize bull.
Right.
So he was on this farm, and of course they keep the heifers and the bulls separate by a fence. And he was grazing on this hill, and he was looking over on the other side of this fence, and these beautiful heifers everywhere calling out to him. And he couldn't stand it anymore. He said, "The heck with it, I'm going down." So he dashed down this hill and took a leap and just cleared the fence and landed in beside this heifer. And she mooed a couple of times and said, "Aren't you Ferdinand the Bull?" He said, "Just call me Ferdy. That fence was a little taller than I thought."
All right. All right, Jeff. Hey, looky here. Hey, we got Chris from South California on line one. Wants to ask about women and their leadership. Awesome. Don, let's bring Chris in. I'd
Awesome.
love to
Welcome,
talk.
Chris. Hi there. Can you hear me?
Sure can, Chris. How are you
Sure.
doing today?
Thanks for calling in, Chris.
I'm doing great. Doing great. Love your show. Love everything you have to talk about. I'm so glad you guys have been brave enough to do this. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you, Chris.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Chris. Yeah. So, what do
Yeah,
you
I agree with you. I agree with you on the animals, by the way. I just sort of tuned into to the show here a little late, so that's all I've caught so far. But yeah, I'm noticing blue jays and all kinds of things. Just not as afraid of me, almost like you said, curious about me. So it is really cool. It must be the light we're shining.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they can sense that, much like Hugh was saying that the cats can see that way. You know, see your aurora almost, and it's a
Right.
friendly vibration.
Oh,
Go ahead,
wow.
Kevin.
Yeah. Your love
Very
is
cool.
shining out. That's right.
So
So,
I heard from Q a while ago. Oh, I'm sorry.
no, continue. Go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I know I heard from Q a while ago that women feel more, and this is not surprising, I guess, and men like to solve things. And so, we go to work, we do what we do. And so that's the closest thing I've heard on the topic of women and how they, it just seems like they're just overwhelmingly leading the charge during this time, and the men are quite often just sort of in the background. Even my own relationship, my wife is is leading the charge to standing up to our civil servants and things like that. And I'm going along with her, but I must say I depend very much on her leadership and her insight to things. And I just wanted to hear maybe from you guys some comments on that whole topic. Like, why is I don't think I'm the only one noticing this. Why is it that the women are so strong and the men, surprisingly, are just sort of doing the status quo, it seems?
Well, thank you very much for that question, Chris. Again, this will be just my perspective. I am not a psychologist. All right. So I think women basically have always kind of been in touch with their hearts. You know, again, there's always exceptions to the rule, but as a majority, women have always been in touch with their heart. And in doing that, they slow down. They think about think about what they're going to say and how they're going to react usually. And so that's why I feel they're in such good leadership. They are very good leaders because they can kind of slow down and use their heart mind to make decisions in a loving way, if you will. At least that's kind of one of my thoughts. And I think that's something that the men kind of need to learn to do is, again, Q mentions slowing down, becoming in neutrality, becoming neutral, trying to get into a peaceful state of being. And then when you're making decisions, they seem to be more appropriate decisions, I guess, because it's coming from the heart. So that's kind of my take. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that men trigger easier, go to their protective state easier. So it's hard for them to make, even negotiate a lot of times with even something that's simple, you know? And so they get heated easier, where women seem to have that ability to just take a breath, deal things out, and negotiate a little bit better. And to your point, Kevin, I think you're going to see in the future that there's going to be a lot more female leaders throughout the world.
Okay.
And I do think that's going to happen. Go ahead. Sorry.
John, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we also have another caller on the line. It's interesting. Chris is on with us right now, and Christine is also from South Florida, and she would like to join in on the conversation too. So Don, why don't let's go ahead and bring both of them in on the show.
Morning,
Christine,
gentlemen.
Well, good morning, Christine. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm part of the Carrie's group, so I think you know me and John.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm listening
Welcome,
intently and I listen to try to understand you all. So you're asking questions about women leading the movement. And I had a thought because I've been looking for truth since I was a teenager. But I believe in my perspective is, especially after we become mothers, we try to, or I would say wives, we try to find ways to relate more and understand more and bring that understanding into relationships, understanding the world, understanding animals and behavior. We're really tuned into that, where I believe a man is really tuned into his mission of working and providing and solving problems, but doesn't go into the relational part and the heart. And I know my husband is still really having a hard time going from head to heart, you know, and I keep saying he's just not getting the concept. I believe it's because you guys have been so deconditioned out of connecting with your heart. Like maybe it wasn't manly enough. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? You put on your, you know, big boy boots and just get out there and then handle it and don't whine. So I think we're allowed to whine. I don't know. And it's good to whine and cry sometimes. And for you guys, I don't know, you get punished. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as these energies are coming in more and more, and I would like to encourage men not to ignore the fact that they're feeling a little different or would like to respond a little different, and not to feel, as I mentioned earlier, one of my stories there, that my brothers were calling me a sissy because of my feelings. And I think men are going to get more and more frequencies that'll encourage those feelings within them. And I would just like to encourage them just to go with it and accept it. And I think it's very important for us all to get balanced in these energies, between the feminine and the deny or the masculine. So yeah, that would be my take on that. And how do you feel about that, Chris?
I
Are you
agree with
still?
all of all three of you. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we
Can.
again, sorry.
I agree with all of you on all those three different points. And John, your point about how the trigger, I think, is what you said. And I've noticed, because we've had some situations where I just want to kill the person. I just get so angry. And I know that sounds kind of extreme, but if you knew what we've been through with the police and the sheriffs and the judges and all the stuff that we've kind of stirred up, it's kind of understandable if you knew the details. But at any rate, yeah, I think that hits the heart for me, because I got to slow down, don't react, just know that these people are aliens. They're not even human. They're not. They're. I'm dealing with an injustice that I can just sort of calm myself down and not react so much. And I think when I can get into that state of heart, then maybe I can be more effective and confident.
Well
Yeah,
said.
absolutely.
Well said.
Very
Yes.
well said. Yes.
Yeah, because I think it's going to take a while for guys to show a lot more emotion. I mean, to get in touch with themselves, their own self, and to show emotion, because they're afraid of, again, being embarrassed, being made fun of, or being judged. And so they want to keep it all in, show that manly,
It's con
commanding,
A lot of it's conditioning,
Yes, it is.
that's
It
for
is.
sure. And what we have to remember is that we are all divine spiritual energy. We don't have a gender, for example, before coming in here, and we need to get that imbalanced and get more in touch with that. So, we're all just individual drops to this ocean of divine spiritual energy. And more and more of this information is coming through with Q, and it's getting through to people. That's great. I'd like to know how to get more people involved. Like all of us here, us four, for example, and other and the listeners are already tuned in and already awakening. But how can we help to get others involved so they can hear this information and then understand their feelings and know what's changing around them and get familiar that the world is changing and what it's about, or at least they're changing. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I kind of agree, John, because I feel like we're, in a way, with the listeners, we're preaching to the choir. They kind of understand already what we're trying to talk about. But you're right. How do we get the message out away from the BBS listeners, kind of thing, I guess.
Can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely, Kristen.
So, as a health coach, right before COVID, I was bringing messages of holistic health to the community and getting to the grassroots, where people were, what they don't understand, what are their issues, what are they not getting? Simple things like reading labels. When you go to the grocery store, what's the barcode that starts with a 9 versus a 5? If we can get it simplified, I believe, and bring it to the communities at the grassroots level, and there's more and more of us consistently saying the same thing and being actively promoting what it is that they're experiencing, what are their fears, what are they not understanding, trying to get those basics to the communities with their language, like man to man versus a man, you know, a woman talking to a man, doesn't work. That's why you all started your show. Your show is great, but I think if we get out to the communities and start this movement out there, it's going to take off. That's my own, you know, opinion.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you for sure. And with Chris, he's dealing with a lot of demons. I recall his story from early on. And however, like you said, there are some people out there that are in those places that are good people in different positions. And they're just, they think it's their job and they want to follow the rules and all that sort of thing. But when you get there eye to eye with them, his encouragement is to try to try to get your frequency spinning off with theirs. I think try to, so that they feel that they're, you know, they're dealing with another being, and it'll help to encourage them to get into their heart space. And so it would be awful nice. I can imagine now for Chris, when he went to, you know, any of these people that he has to deal with, and suddenly they had a big change in their heart and they became really human all of a sudden, rather than, as you say, these demons. It would be very nice. So yeah, how do we get, and through what you're suggesting, it is, would help to help wake up all people.
It's also,
you know,
a resonance. Vibrating when you resonate love and understanding, that's different than rage and, you know, wanting to kill, or it's you, they can, you can feel it. You all know how to feel it.
You're absolutely
and
correct.
And they don't feel it.
Right.
But
no, I had my experience.
Can explain.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. When I had experiences with tackling my land patent, you'd go in and immediately people were on the defensive already. They even had signs up, you know, please don't take it on us. We're just employees and stuff like that. And a few of these places, they would have things like that, you know, please respect us in our position. And, you know, obviously they've been verbally attacked quite often by people with frustration. So when you do go in with loving care and that love vibration, as you say, Christine, it changes the entire dynamic and how you're dealing with these people. But suddenly they're getting friendly. One person that we had gone into, the next time we went, oh, I recognize you guys. And I was just out and look, I bought these chocolates. Would you like to have some? And they actually shared chocolates with us and stuff like this. Now, I'm not saying this is, you know, Chris is doing anything wrong. I'm not saying that because, you know, there's a lot of them in California. There's a lot of demons there. So, Q is right, is all I'm saying with, when you go in with see them eye to eye and just a little different perspective, it does help a lot. And I think as our frequencies are changing coming into Earth, I think it's easier and easier in the future for us to get through to these, you know, to this other person that we're dealing with and have a better, more harmonized relationship and conversation and communication. Were you going to say something there, Kevin?
I was just going to say, or not. I mean, you know, there's always the possibility, no matter how much you try to connect with them, they might not have that within them to connect with you at
all.
Well,
to Chris's point, when they're demons,
exactly.
That's it. You're dealing with a demon, and that's it.
That's right. And so that's when you know to perhaps walk away, or, you know, be on your own timeline. Don't engage and just walk away if at all possible. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, you know,
the personal sovereignty comes in.
That's correct. That's
right on, Christine.
Right.
Yes.
Personal sovereignty. And I kind of think that I mentioned, you know, we're preaching to the choir, but, you know, I think all of us are way showers. And I think as we're out there and we interact with folks, we just kind of express and how do I want to say this? I'm kind of lost for a word right now, but we show by example. Show by example.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're examples and we're way showers, and hopefully some of our energy rubs off on them, and that's good. And if not, well, then then not. So yeah. Anyway, that very, very good. Examples and conversation. I'm enjoying this a lot.
Yeah. Chris, where do you sit with your issues now? Is it getting any easier? Do you see any headway happening, or?
I find myself kind of staying out of the world, if that makes sense. Try not to drive really anywhere. I have the luxury of not having to work right now. I used to be a locksmith, and I had a really good business, but I went on to other things, building a house, and now I'm living sort of camping on a piece of land, 3.5 acres, and we're learning how to homestead. It's all land patented. So our life has taken a totally different direction, and I'm actually finding great joy and happiness to being still, which, if you knew me, that's a big change, because I was sort of driven a lot, having to do something, having to be out there, go here, go there, you know. And now I'm actually just spending every day just being quite still, being in nature, having my hands and feet in the soil and learning how to grow stuff and, you know, just one thing leading to another. So sorry for that long explanation, but basically I'm finding by not going out into the world, I can kind of protect myself. But of course, there's the times where you do have to go out. And boy, it's interesting. Some of the people that we've run into who are clearly alien, it made sense. It took me a while to understand that truth from Q, but and I know he doesn't like to throw numbers out, and it depends on where you are, but 90% of the people, if they're actually alien in this world, then that's what we're dealing with. And I think, you know, maybe some of them can flip the other way. I don't know. To be honest, in the Riverside and San Diego counties, I'm not seeing too many human beings that I've rubbed shoulders with in the sheriff's department or in their courts, or, you know, I can't say I've had a huge amount of experience with it all, but it looks pretty grim. Just try to learn how to navigate it and be in peace energy. To answer your question, I guess I am finding it easier as time goes on. I'm learning kind of a new skill, if you will. I'll give up the call here for you.
Yeah. So new skills. I assume some of that's got to do with homesteading. And are you planting any of your own food, Chris, or are you gardening at all?
Yeah, we're even growing ginger, which is grown in Hawaii. We've got potatoes and all lettuce and broccoli and cauliflower and asparagus. And I mean, tons of stuff. I could go on and on. We planted 17 fruit trees.
Wow.
We're going to get chickens here. I got to build the coop. And it's great. It's awesome. Just loving life,
right,
to be honest.
Right.
But I'm just, as I started out, just sort of observing, wow, the women are really taking charge and leading the charge on all this. And I just, I kind of knew why and stuff, but, and thank you for all your input. It makes a lot of sense. I do recognize, though, and I always have been very hot headed. I can go from 0 to 10 in rage, when things, injustices are put upon me. And so it's a little hard. I find it challenging to, be more from my heart, I guess, in those situations, when something wrong is being done to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We all feel that,
wife, you know,
and that's an
life, because then I can't protect her.
Mm-hmm. That's an important point to bring up, though, is to be aware that you are not actually, you know, calm during those situations. So just that's a big learning curve. So that, congratulate you on that. And it sounds like, Chris, you're living the dream as far as, you know, that we like to live also as far as homesteading and being in your own world, if you will. That's great.
Right. I do a lot of gardening too, Chris. And, I find myself, and I've been doing it for years, but now I have a different perspective because of the teachings of Q and Mermaid, and I respect the plants, and I love spending time and feeling their energy around me. So I understand partly of what you're saying there.
All right. Well, Chris and Christine, I am so glad that you guys joined us today. Thank you so much for your input. We really appreciate you. We're kind of getting down to the wire here, John.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Christine.
Our time is almost up. Have you had fun, John?
I've had a great time. And what a great conversation that was with Chris and Christine. Wonderful. Thank you very much for
Absolutely.
participating.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, let me have, I don't know, we might have what, maybe 1 minute?
Yeah, about a minute.
So, yeah. So, a burglar broke into my house last night.
Really?
I put a red dot on his chest, and the cat did the rest. Okay. Anyway, that was kind of a dumb. Anyway.
Oh, we can always count on you, Kevin.
Yeah, that's my 2 cents for jokes. Okay, so
that's
anyway.
I get.
All right. Well, I would like to thank everyone who participated by calling in, and to you listeners out there for tuning in. I hope you had as much fun as John and I did. Thanks again for joining us on a Cuman Perspective.
Right on, Kevin, my friend. Great show. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And thanks for all the participants and BBS Radio. Peace out, my friend. Bye-bye for now.
That's it.